Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
Musa Mota is a South African DJ and dancer. He started pursuing being a DJ in 2010 and entered a Red Square DJ knockout where he took the fifth position in the provincials. During his journey of exploring being a DJ, Musa felt like he could do more, and that's when he began to be curious about dancing. His friends taught him how to dance by drawing squares on the floor. The first dance genre that he learnt is boudoir, and he enhanced his dance vocab by adding hip-hop and pansula as time went by. He has been fortunate to have worked with local and international artists such as Drake, Tanisha Scott, and Somizi, to mention a few. Musa has been the subject of two documentaries on SABC 2, Talk SA, and Each One Teach One. The latter won an award for the best documentary that year. Musa has been in television adverts and starred in the movie The Ultimate, where he was the main character. In 2018, Musa joined the Vuyani Dance Theatre Company, where he learned Gregory Makomo's technique, the pulse theory technique, as well as the cocktail, which the company is celebrated for. During Musa's time at Vuyani Dance Theatre, he performed in Makomo's Kion Requiem of Ravel's Bolero at Joburg Theatre, Rise, which was performed in Johannesburg and New York at Fall for Dance. In 2020, Musa toured with the company to be part of Sharjah Fringe Festival in the United Arab Emirates. Musa is currently a dancer at Rambert Dance Company in London and has also recently been a finalist in Britain's Got Talent during the 2023 season. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Musa Mota. Where do we find you in the world and how are you doing?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for the invite, Barrett. Yes, my name is Musa, and I'm from South Africa. Everyone can find me on social media. It's Musa Mota, you know, everywhere. You know, on Facebook, it's Musa Sosu Mota.
And are you currently in South Africa, Johannesburg, at the moment?
Yes, I'm still in South Africa. I've been in South Africa since last year, December.
Okay.
But I'm going to leave soon again.
Where are you going, back to the UK?
Yes, we're back to the UK.
Okay, so do you live in the UK now or a hybrid of both?
Yeah, I'm kind of like a little bit of both.
You've got a fascinating story, which I'd like to unpack. So let's go from the beginning. As I understand, you're playing soccer, passionate about soccer. So let's travel through your journey into how you got to where you are today.
Football. So I started playing football when I was very young, from a very, very young age.
Yeah.
I was kind of like 9, 10 years old, you know, and then that's where I got like the incident of like finding out about cancer, you know, and post cancer, I had to amputate my leg, and then after that, then I started playing football again, you know, until I actually went to the UK. That's where I got the opportunity to play like football professionally. You know, I played for Arsenal, amputee first team. So, yeah, up until then, things have been good.
Are you still playing football now?
No, I stopped. When I came to South Africa, I stopped.
Yeah. Okay. Was it challenging playing the game with, with an amputated leg? How did that go?
Football is quite interesting when you play with crutches, yeah. Because, like, there's like certain rules that you need to follow, you know, and I had to like literally to kind of like try to get to, you know, instill every rule, you know, and play by the rules at all times, which is kind of like a bit difficult, you know, to play football with crutches, and then you don't have to touch the ball with crutches at all, you know, so, but it's nice, you know, it's enjoyable and I really like it. And yeah, it's not really difficult. I don't want to lie. It's not difficult, actually. It's just about like following the rules, isn't it?
Okay.
And making sure that you're always, you know, on top of the game.
At what age and how did you get into the dancing world?
I started dancing in 2010, 2009.
Okay.
And it all started with like, which is just sitting down with my friends. There was music around us, and they were dancers at the time, and they were doing like street dance, called East Bujra. So, I also liked to dance, but I didn't know how to dance at that time. And then, yes, so they started to like dance around me, and then I was just like, yeah, you know what? I want to start dancing as well. So they taught me how to dance, and then from that day onwards, I've been just like helping myself out, watching videos, go to them when they practice, try to imitate what they do. And then again, I was just like, trying to kind of imitate what they do and then transfer it into my body, because I it's a two different thing, because when I have to take it into my body, I have to like interpret it, according to how I can do it. It has to look similar to them, So yeah, I started that, and then afterwards, I started to like, as time went by, I started to join local dance crews, started to go out, performing, go to Johannesburg, go to perform in some, places, music videos, and then we started to do like TV ads and stuff, and then in 2018 I started to work for audition for a dance company. It's a professional dance company in Newtown, Johannesburg. It's called Verde Dance Theatre. It's owned by it's founded by Gregory McCormack. So yeah, he took me in, and then we started doing, the training. They trained me there, classical, contemporary, and Afrofusion. Of which they call it cocktail, because they fuse everything there. And then I started touring in 2009. We went to New York. That's how we got exposed into like international works, international, performances and stuff, and then in 2020, I resigned, and then I became, freelancer. I freelanced 2000 to 2020 until 2001, and in 2001 I got discovered by this dance company in the UK called Rambert Ballet Rambert, and then 2001 2000 2021 I went to audition in October. Yes, I went to the UK to audition. Then yeah, they took me in, and then 2022, I started working with them. That's when I started to live in the UK, until last year, I came back home.
When you first, your friend sat you down and first, even though you saw them dancing around you and they were doing it already, when they first broached the topic or question of like, why don't you try this? Was it okay, yes, straight away, or was it a little bit of resistance of like, how am I going to do this? Or what were your first reactions?
To be quite honest with you, it was just about like, yes, I had the resistance, but it was about like thinking about it. Like, okay, if you're proposing this, then you might have seen it in your mind, in your imagination. That means it's possible for me to do it. I just need to put practice on it, So yeah, at first I used to think about it first, and then when time went by, when someone suggested something to me, I would just get up and try to do it without even thinking about it.
I think that's important. Sometimes when people think, the brain gets in the way and they like,
True, yes.
and then I call it the parrot. The parrot on the shoulder starts making a big noise, which is normally about fear, self-doubt, all those silly things. So it's about accepting the parrot and saying, okay, quiet down. I know you're there, but let it be part of the performance rather than, res allowing you to block you from performing, if does that make
True.
sense? Yeah.
True.
What was the choice or decision to enter BGT?
I've always wanted to be in a BGT. I've always wanted to go to one of the Got Talents, we
Yes.
tried SA Got Talent like years ago, but it didn't even like succeed, we didn't even make it to the main stage. So, the aim was to get to the global stage where I can just like do my thing and then be recognized worldwide. And that was the opportunity. And then some of my friends, from the UK suggested it, because there were auditions going on, last year. And he asked me why I can't just, go and audition. Then I was like, why not? And, did my research, went to audition, and then the rest is history.
For those people who are not aware,
We just sort of see the end television result. What happens before that?
Before what?
So basically, so you enter, and then what are the next steps?
Okay. So you audition first, right? And then
So who do you audition for?
You audition for. So I went straight to the auditions that you guys saw.
Okay.
You go straight into it. You know, I don't know other people, but for me, I got in, and then they're like, "Okay, come and audition." You know, because you send videos as well.
Videos for them as part of your entry.
Yeah, it's like the entry level, so they actually see, like, you know.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Okay,
what are you doing? What's your talent?
Yes.
You know, all of those things. Yeah. And then they'll call me to come for the audition.
Okay.
So I went in.
And did you go in with any expectations, or did you just think, okay, whatever happens, happens? And then were you shocked about, you know, we saw your reaction for the Golden Buzzer, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously you were grateful and shocked, but what were your expectations, or did you not have any?
I didn't have any big expectations. You know, I wasn't aiming for the Golden Buzzer. You know, I was just aiming to go in, you know, showcase my talent. And then after that, maybe I'd get like a few yeses to go to the next round, you know. But yeah, got in there. I was a little bit nervous. And then I got in, you know, started to talk to Simon. And then afterwards, you know, started my performance. And then I was nervous all the way around, you know, until I finished my performance, you know. And then, yeah, the reaction of the audience was really amazing. It was so loud in there, you know. I started to see, yeah, it was so loud. And I started to see, like, on the side, I saw, like, people peeking, like, you know, they're looking like, what's going on in there? What just happened, you know?
So it's obviously opened a number of doors and opportunities for you. So what's been happening since then?
I've been traveling around.
Okay.
I've been traveling around. I've been getting more gigs. Yeah, and then I've been just like doing some things that I've always wanted to do, like DJing, you know.
Oh, okay.
It's opening more doors for other sides as well. You know, I'm meeting up with like cool people, you know. I can now talk to people that I've always wanted to talk to, like big celebrities and stuff, you know. But the most important thing is that like I get more international works and I get to travel around. Ever since that's what has been happening so far.
And what are your next steps? Obviously, we just go with the flow because we never know what's going to happen tomorrow, as we know. So, are you going to pursue the dancing, the DJing? What other goals do you have in the next short term and long term?
Short term would be to actually identify what do I want to do, you know, this year, of which I've really started, and then to set out back levels. Where do I want to reach? Where do I want to go? You know, what do I want to do? You know, and the short-term goals, if you see, they're going to help me out to reach out my long-term goals. And then my long-term goals will help me out to reach out my dreams, you know. So this year, the short-terms would be like to actually put my DJing side on the map. Like, okay, Mose has been a DJ. He's not a DJ. He's been a DJ. He wants to, you know, uplift it, you know, level it up a little bit, you know. And again, I'm going to do like more of like workshops, like inclusive workshops, all around the world. And I'm going to work with more companies like in Paris, you know, do some stuff there as well, you know, because I've always wanted to work in Paris as well. So far, that's what is happening.
What do you enjoy about DJing?
DJing helps me to actually express my love for music, you know, and I've always wanted to like be in control of what is in the room. So when you DJ in a place, you literally in control of how people must feel and how they're supposed to feel.
Okay.
You know, so, and again, serving the good music as well. I've always wanted to serve good music to people, share my talent as well. You know, and I like to play music. I like music. I love music. So that's like the best way to express myself.
So as obviously being a DJ, You have to be able to read the room. Is this song working, or do I need to kick into gear with another mix? So does reading people come naturally for you, or is it something that you are working on?
I mean, if you play good music, there's no other way but the crowd to, like, they don't have a choice to just enjoy it, you know, like, so I make sure that I prepare myself before I go to the gig, you know, and I play music, you know, but to be honest, I read the room first, you know, I read the room, like, okay, what type of people are these? Do they need me to put a tempo up, or should I slow it down, you know? So by the time I go behind the decks, I know what I want to do, I know what I have to do, you know, so... Yeah, I become in control.
And is there a specific genre, type of genre that you enjoy playing, or is it a mix?
I enjoy playing house music, Afro house music.
And is it one of your goals? And maybe you can say yes or no, but I know a lot of DJs start producing and creating their own music. Is it a goal of yours to dive into that creativity part of your brain and start creating originals?
Yes, of course. Me being a dancer and being a DJ at the same time, it's a blessing, you know, because I know what I want, you know, and I know what type of music I want to produce, because I know how it's going to benefit me on the dancing side. So I've always wanted to be like a music producer, you know, and this is a great opportunity for me to do it, actually. So yeah, I'll say maybe from later this year, I'll be like producing music,
yeah,
you know. Yeah, because I'm starting to, like, talk to people and stuff.
So it's part of the list. But also, I suppose being a dancer allows you to have a different understanding of music, of the beats, how the different, I can't think of the words now, but the different rhythms and elements flow.
Yeah.
So they can help you when you're creating music, because you'll be like, ah, this flows in this way. I'm not saying it's better or worse than people who don't dance, but it gives you a different element of observation.
Yes, that's true, actually, because, like, when you're a dancer, you actually feel everything, you know, you actually listen to every beat, you know, you analyze and, you know, kind of, like, dismantle the musical element. Like, I can feel the texture that people don't feel, you know,
yes.
And I can hear what people can't hear, you know, so that's what, like, is going to help me out to be, like, one of the best producers, I believe.
Put it out there. Let's put it out there and step into it. I love it. So, Musa, let's go back to dancing. When you are creating a new piece for dance, do you choreograph it yourself always, or do you have collaborators that assist you, or combination of both?
Combination of both. I have done solos that I created by myself. I've done solos that I had, like, a collaborator, you know. Yeah, well, I enjoy more working with people, you know. I like, you know, exchanging information. Yeah.
Okay.
Working alone is it's great, but challenging as well. I wouldn't say I like it. I don't like it. I do like working alone, but I like working with people more.
And now, when you're creating a new piece of dance, is it always easy? By yourself, it could be a little bit more challenging than with collaborating. Mm-hmm. But overall, is it always an easy process, or is it sometimes a bit challenging? And when it is challenging, how do you overcome that challenge?
It actually depends on, like, how the strategy that you use for creation. The people who like to play before, you know, they just do like an improv. You know, and then they shoot themselves, you know, they do like a video and they just start to do like improvisations and stuff, you know. Some people that would literally write down what do you want, like write literally like, okay, this is what I want from beginning to end.
Yes.
And they just work on that structure, you know, rather than like other people, they'll like literally like play with other dancers, like, okay, how about we do this? This is what I want. I want like something that is flowing.
Yes.
Or some choreographers would do like, give you task, like, okay, this is what I want. I'm looking at like watery thing, like flow, you know, tunnel, water flowing through the tunnels and stuff, you know. So for me, it's always an interesting part when it comes to creating new works. As for me, I get like inspiration from other people. You know, I watch a lot of videos, you know, dance videos, and like YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and I get the inspiration from them, And then what I do is, I know if I do like a direct interpretation of movement, it's gonna give me like a different feeling. And
Yes.
from there, I can just like turn my things around, do something creative about it, And again, it depends on the story.
Okay.
Sometimes you get a client, they'll be like, I want this kind of piece, and you have to work around the message, how they want it to be, rather than when you work alone, when you're doing your own piece, you get so confused at the beginning. But as time goes by, when you just like have more material to use, more information that you got. And again, you get driven by the music. The most important thing when you create the piece, you have to have like the music that you want. Because when you change the music, that's where things are going to be messed up. But if you have the music from the get-go, then everything's going to be all right, I guess.
What's your favorite type of dance? Second to that, do you do all types of dancing?
Yeah, I do all types of dancing,
Okay, but what's your favorite?
My favorite is classical contemporary.
Okay, so now I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 hours, 2 minutes, 2 years, I know your answer will be different every time. And now I'm not talking about music for dancing or music for DJing. I'm talking Musa himself. Once we finish this conversation, and again, I'm not saying favorites, okay? I'm saying I
Okay.
know there are millions of them and I know you'll change every time. But if you had to push play to five songs by other artists once we finish this conversation, what would those five songs be and by whom?
Five songs.
It's hard.
That would be a song that I'm going to dance to, or a song that I'll just want to listen to in general.
Either or.
Either or. I'd say, let me say the first three would be the ones that I would listen to, of which is Officially Missing You by Tamia. Then the second one would be, who's this guy? I forgot his name, No, I didn't forget his name. It's Yame. Yeah, it's Yame. The song is called Be Became. Yeah, it's Became.
Okay.
And then I'll say the third one would be Best Friend. Best Part by her
Okay.
and Danielle. Two more.
Yeah.
Two more. I'll say Calum Scott. Calum Scott, You Are the Reason.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That's like the best song ever,
Yeah.
And then the other one is The Village. It's Village by Rubble.
Lovely. I like the mix, different genres, different mixes. Beautiful. Some to add to
Yeah,
my
yeah.
playlist. So thank you. So Musa,
Yeah, yeah.
the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message, what would you like to say?
Whatever that you want in life, it's possible that you can get it. It depends on your choices. The choices that you make in life, they're really effective. So you need to be clever and smart about your choices. Because the choices that you make now, they will literally affect you in the future. And just know that nothing is impossible, Nothing is impossible. It's all in your mind. It's all in your brain. You just need to work yourself up, believe in yourself and don't let any obstacle stop whatever you want to do in life. And it's important that in every industry or every field that you're in, have a mentor so that you can actually pave your way smoothly, And it's important to have a mentor as well because mentors know or they have been in the same journey as you. They just did it before you, so they know the do's and don'ts, And always be humble, always be open to learning, listen more, talk less. And the most important thing again that I'll repeat is believe in yourself.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Celeb Savant. Please follow Barrett on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook at Celeb Savant. That's CelebSavant.